and welcome to Locked On Astros, your daily Astros podcast. Here are your hosts, Eric the Man Heisman and Brett H-Town Wheelhouse Chansey.
We are Locked On Houston Astros, and we hope that you join us for a daily Locked On Astros podcast. My name is Eric Heisman. You can find me on Twitter at Eric Talk Stros. You can find the show at Locked On Astros. Your team, every day, all offseason, we're going to talk about what's happening in George Springer, Michael Brantley, should we bring him back, and what about Josh Reddick? I'm sorry, Reddick, but it's been nice, but peace. I think it's time for you to go. But don't forget, Brett, where can they find you on Twitter?
You can find me at H-Town Wheelhouse on Twitter and at Stros411 on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Always positive, no matter if it's the offseason or regular season, always Stros.
All right, so guys, don't forget, you can get Locked On Astros on podcast and app Himalaya, as well as Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify. And when you get in your car, tell your smart device to play podcasts Locked On Astros. So we got a lot to kind of talk about this offseason, and I'm not going to do what y'all think I'm going to do. I'm not going to just go crazy and start screaming at everybody and saying the Astros lost, they're a bunch of losers and all this. They really went pretty far considering what they showed during the regular season. The talent they had on their team was great, but yes, they're missing their big ace, their big game one and game six starter in Justin Verlander. There were a lot of key pieces, like we're missing a closer. And then Yordan Alvarez, where has he been? He's had some knee surgery, but we saw him the other day on a treadmill, kind of working his way back. So there are a lot of reasons why the Astros should not have gone to game seven of the ALCS. They still did. And I was, I know Brett and I, we were watching the game together, but I was kind of glad that it was pretty much out of reach early in the game. So we can kind of be like, okay. It would have sucked if it was like a walk-off homer or something to lose that game seven. But overall, I'm proud of the Astros. I know a lot of people are mad at them. A lot of people want Dusty Baker gone. A lot of people are questioning them doing this and that. But I think with what the Astros had, they did what they could.
Oh, yeah, definitely. At the end of the day, a very solid season. Of obviously, when you look at the regular season record, that I'm not talking about the being under 500 being solid, but what they had to work with. And I know a lot of people are upset at them. Oh, well, they should have never been there because they were under 500. They shouldn't have gone, and it was a complete sham that they were in the playoffs and under 500. But that was not their doing. That was actually Major League Baseball's rules. And I'll tell you this, Eric, they wouldn't be there if the Angels had a decent team that surrounded Mike Trout. They wouldn't be there if the Oakland A's took care of business in the ALDS. They wouldn't be there if the Minnesota Twins took care of, the wild card.
Right.
They wouldn't be there other than they got hot at the right time and they got to the playoffs, and it was like someone sparked a fire and it just ran its course. And they look like the Astros of old. They look like the team that we are used to seeing winning. And there were some very glaring reasons and particular players why, you know, what didn't help the Astros when things slowed down. But when they hit the Rays series, it seemed like they kind of fell back to earth and everybody's like, oh, here we are again. And then they caught fire again. And so, you know, baseball is all about momentum. And that game seven, clearly momentum was in the Rays' favor. Charlie Morton's first inning where Lance McCullers hits the leadoff batter, Manuel Margot, I think, kind of set the tone. And then he gives up the two-run bomb. And
on a fastball. A guy who's been crushing it all series on a fastball. You don't throw it in that situation.
And he shook off Maldonado. And so there was a lot of criticism for that. Now, with that being said, sometimes pitchers are going to challenge other guys because that's who they are. And that's Lance McCullers' nature. You know, here's the thing. Had Arturozzi Arozarena, I can't say his name, had Arozarena fouled that ball off and not hit a home run, we wouldn't be talking about that. You know what I'm saying? He squared the ball up, but he's been squaring the ball up, and that's an excellent point you make. And like you said early on, and I had made the comment when we were watching the game, like they were out of it early. So when we lost, like when we came back, I genuinely thought we were going to come back. But when we lost, it was like, well, I never felt like the game was ours. I never felt like we grabbed a lead or we were close and competing. I just felt like it just felt like a flat game for me from the Astros. You know, Altuve looked, I mean, I don't know. He just, I know, you know, I know there were some double plays that I thought should have been turned. I know the guy's going to first really fast, but he still just looks off to me out in the field. And I really think an off season is going to be good for Jose Altuve. But Eric, one of the things I want to talk about is the fact that Alex Bregman and Carlos Correa both said after the game in some form or fashion, this was a fun team. Like I'll never forget these guys. Some of these guys that we've been with, we've been through so much. You know, if I could share one of Carlos Correa's quotes, he said, "I'm going home and I'll remember this team forever. I'm very proud of everything we accomplished." And it's like, dang, dude, enter slow song and like start saying the goodbyes. So who's going to stay and who's going to go is really the big question. But let's talk about more of the Astros' reaction to the series, because I think it's key for the Astros going forward in 2021.
Yeah, for sure. And I think that everybody said the right thing. Even George Springer, right after the victory or the defeat, he basically said that I'm kind of focusing on tonight. We'll worry about what happens for next year, that we'll cross that bridge when that time comes. And so what that means is that he is kind of, in my head, that means that he's kind of debating what he wants to do still at this point. If he was really wanted to come back, he would probably have said, "Oh yeah, I want to come back." But then it's part of the negotiation tactic too, that you're going to play, but that you're willing to leave. But this is a core group of guys. And I know when we had Brandon Del Castillo on from Talking Stros about a couple weeks ago, he said that he can see the Astros bringing Springer and Correa back in for a long-term deal. But I just think that's going to hamper the rest of your lineup. It's probably going to hamper you with the pitching. You're going to have to rely on some young pitching. But basically, the Astros played the best they could. And even Dusty Baker said, "I'm proud of these guys. Nobody expected them to do anything this year. And they did it. And they did it because they have this drive in front of them." And somebody put a tweet out there about Carlos Correa. And it was, I think it was a scene from Scarface when he was trying to be escorted out of a restaurant. And he was like, "Y'all need me," and all this. And so basically that's what he did. He kind of fired everybody up this whole year. And he did that even in the regular spring training. So Carlos Correa, I think, has put himself back into the hearts of Astros fans with the way he played, the way he backed up the team the whole time. And basically in the past 24 hours, maybe not 24 hours, we have seen a lot of people, including national media, attack the Astros. Oh, it's like they're missing that one thing. Otherwise they would have won that game. And they're not at the home ballpark. It's not an issue this year. Why do y'all keep on bringing it back? And they didn't win last year. I know they went to the World Series, but they weren't cheating back then. So why does everybody have to do this? But Carlos Correa said that we didn't fold. We kept battling. We got to the playoffs and no one else gave us a chance. And they didn't give us a chance in Minnesota. They didn't give them a chance against Oakland. They beat us in a regular season and we came up huge and won that series. Down 0-3, everybody was talking about the Astros getting swept and this and that. We came back and forced game 7. It was the finale we wanted, but I'm just proud of this team, man. It's just unbelievable.
Yeah, you know, Lance McCullers said some of the same things, and he's like, "Man, I just freaking love this team. I love these guys in the locker room." And if anything, all the negativity and all the criticism that has been shown them and shared, and basically where they've got all these things. I know there's like another book coming out here pretty soon. Someone DM'd me the other day and said, "Hey, did you know this was coming out?" And it's one of these, SYN, like in, or NYSE or something, New York Sports Network. One of their guys wrote a book about about the Astros cheating, and then basically like cheating in general, like a history of it. And I'm pretty sure it's going to be pretty heavy Astros. You know, the bottom line is this, Eric, people out there have got to have something to complain about, and they have to have something to be angry about, and they have to find faults in other people. And I'll tell you why these national media people do it. A, because it gets some views on their websites. B, because it probably makes them not look so hard at themselves and the mistakes that they have to fix. So they're going to point out other people's mistakes. Typically, people that have big flaws in their life point out flaws in other people's lives, and they love doing it. So at the end of the day, they can go ahead with that negativity. The problem is, Eric, they got to take that negativity home. That's going to affect their just like regular everyday life. And they want to complain, and they want to cry, and they want to be bent out of shape about it. At the end of the day, it happened. We know it happened. None of us on this show have ever condoned it. No one in Houston ever condoned it. We don't think it's okay. It's done with. You know, get over it. This team has nothing to do with that. Oh, yes, but they're the Astros. Oh, yes, but they still have players. And I've heard it all. Well, until every player on that team isn't connected with that, you're going to be booed. I'm like, but why? Like, why spend all that negative energy? It's baseball. But I have seen this, Eric. I have seen the rational baseball fans say enough is enough. Like, actually, Eric, there's a lot of people turning on that narrative because they were like, I've got a lot of respect for the Astros. They fought hard. They lost their ace. They lost their closer. They lost Jordan. They pitched 9 minor league pitchers, 7 of which I believe, Eric, hadn't even pitched above AAA. You know, I mean, above AA. And so the Astros don't care about this stuff. Like, as I see the fans going back and forth, and I try not to get into it, the Astros actually don't give 2 craps about what all those people think. And they prove that going to Game 7 in the ALCS. They prove that in giving themselves a chance to win. I mean, Eric, they were 2 runs away. They had 3 opportunities in the 7th, 8th, and 9th inning to come back and go on top. They very easily could have won this game once Charlie Morton was removed.
I think you're totally off base here. I think it's C. I think they're just hungry. I think if they just maybe they had a good snack when they're trying to write these articles and put these tweets out, like John Heyman. I think you need a Built Bar, John Heyman. I think that's just a good way for you to not be so hangry. So what type of snack could they get?
Well, John Heyman, here's the thing. A Built Bar is a hearty protein bar, and it is something that I think could even tackle John Heyman. Why? Because it's wrapped in 100% chocolate, and you feel like you're eating a candy bar. Eric, I just got in the mail today my box of the new special edition strawberry Built Bar. It's amazing, dude. It's got real strawberry in it. It is decadent. All right, so I asked for 2 Built Bars, like a second one. She's like, no, we do the 1 per day thing. You're trying to watch what you eat. And she said, remember, this is the perfect bar and it's a snack. And I'm like, but it's so good. I want more than one. But here's the thing. Even if you do have more than one in a day, they're really low calorie, 130 calories in most of them, 17 to 18 grams of protein, only 4 grams of sugar and only 4 grams of net carbs. So what I need you to do is go to LockedOn.com. When you go to purchase your Built Bar box, you need to put the code Locked On to get 20% off your next order. And so do that today. While supplies last, you'll get a free cooler with your purchase using the promo code Locked On for 20% off at BuiltBar.com.
Alrighty. So John Heyman needs to eat a Built Bar, and the rest of the media has got to do something. Get over it. 2020's happened. Everybody's had a terrible year. Now y'all can watch maybe the Braves or the Dodgers face the Rays. And if it's the Braves, will anybody be watching? That's the question. So who knows what's going to happen, but this is second out of what, 4 years in a row or something, that second year that the World Series has been canceled for Astros fans. I know 2017 it was on and 2019 it was on, but unfortunately the World Series was canceled in 2018 and 2020.
Well, you know what it means. In 2021, we'll be back in the World Series because World Series, ALCS. World Series, ALCS. So what's the next year? World Series. There's a pattern here. And a lot of people, Eric, have us dead in the water. And where all these writers are like, this is so good. The Astros cheated. The cheating Astros are out of the playoffs. So good for baseball. Actually, it's terrible for baseball because the storyline, can you imagine if the Dodgers end up winning? People are listening to this and they're like, okay, it's going to be Dodgers versus Rays. The storyline of the Houston Astros versus the Dodgers in Ranger Stadium. And I want to make note of this, okay? The Rangers are going to have a World Series in their ballpark. And I think it's going to be the only World Series that you're ever going to see at Tough Shed Stadium.
Wow. You're throwing down that shade early. And
sorry, man. Sorry.
Does this have anything to do with that tweet that the Rangers threw
everything
with the Pope and...
Oh, yeah. I'm like, how can you be a last place team with Rougned Odor as your second baseman trolling the Astros, who literally basically almost got to the World Series with a bunch of minor leaguers and a Yuli Gurriel and Alex Bregman not even doing crap at the plate? I mean, come on. I mean, really? I mean, I mean, here's the thing. I honestly thought the Yankees would be here. And I honestly thought the Yankees were going to beat the Rays because of their bats, because they're hitting so many home runs. And we talked about it. I was like, I still feel like if the Yankees were in this ALCS, that there would have been, I mean, I think we would have scored more runs because I think we would have fared well against our pitching outside of Cole. But I also think that they would have, I mean, every game was competitive. Even the games we lost, it wasn't by much. I mean, it reminded me of the 05 World Series where all four of those games we lost, we should have won. We could have won, but our offense just didn't produce. So,
yeah, and I know a lot of people are just like throwing shade at Jose Altuve. I know defensively he did not have a good playoffs, and that's something he's going to have to go maybe see somebody this offseason and try to figure out, because even yesterday's game, he threw a ball and that was in the dirt that Yuli picked up, and we're like, oh, crap. And then you can tell that he was trying to be a little bit perfect or a little bit, what's the word, just –
Be careful
throwing it to Carlos Correa a few times, and Carlos Correa was still being the deep in the shifts. So,
yeah.
So that's just something to ask to consider, but he did bat 375 in the playoffs with 5 homers, 11 RBIs, 11 walks, 8 strikeouts. His OPS was 1229. Correa batted 362 with 6 homers, 17 RBIs. He did strike out 11 times, but he scored 7 runs and had an OPS of 1221. Abraham Toro had a OPS of 1000 because he only had one at bat, actually 2 at bats, but one of them was a walk. So that was pretty awesome. And Michael Brantley, 346, 981. Ledmys Diaz, 353, 918. George Springer, 263. So he kind of slowed down, and I want to kind of go after Breaking Tee for that playoff George shirt, because after that, he kind of slowed down a little bit, but
all their fault, right?
Yeah. So, you might be saying, well, how did they lose this? Especially you're talking about the offense earlier. Well, it's because of the fact that they got some hits. There was a lot of runners on base. They just didn't get those key hits. And you saw
they lost. They lost because they had one hitter mainly who produced most of their offense. Arozarena, who might I add was cut by the Cardinals, I believe in spring training, and was picked up by the Rays. And so, you know, that guy showing up as an unlikely hero, but there was only a couple other hitters in that Rays lineup that actually
did anything. Yeah.
Margot,
but the rest of it, that was crap. Oh yeah. I remember what I was going to say. Yeah. A lot of people forget that the Rays did have the best record in American League this year.
No, they did. Yeah, they were. And I believe Correa or someone talked about that. Correa or Springer talked about that in the press conference after the game. And they were like, hey, look, they were the best team in the American League. Maybe it was Lance McCullers. And he said the Rays are a good ball club. And I mean, you know, Charlie Morton was determined. I still am shocked that Cash pulled him when he did. And he's probably going to have to make that adjustment in the World Series. He's, I mean, when you got Charlie Morton in there, you got to, I mean, he could have gone two more innings. And if he had gone two more innings, I really don't know that the Astros score. I know that he was starting to like walk and, you know, different things like that. But I will say this, as much crap as Yuli got, you know, for the series at the end there, he gave him a chance. You know, he got on base. He, you know, helped him out. The runners moved over. And then Alibnis Diaz pops out, you know, on the first pitch. And so, but I think that ending kind of summarized the regular season and just how things went, and because the things they had to fight through, Eric. And no matter what you say about this team, you can hate the Astros all you want to. You can love them, but you can't deny that regardless of what they did in the regular season, what they did in the offseason is more like what we're used to seeing when it comes to Astros playoff baseball.
And Framber Valdez, if anything good came out of 2020, it's the rise of Kyle Tucker and Framber Valdez, because he was 3-1 during postseason with a 1.88 ERA. He had 26 strikeouts and 24 innings pitched. The one alarming thing would be the 10 walks, but the Astros pitchers, starters in general, had trouble with the walks. Javier, I know he wasn't technically a starter the whole time, but he had 5. He had Urquidy with 6 and Greinke with 5. And Lance McCullers with 2. And you would think in 14 innings, he would have a little bit more than that. But I know he had a couple hit by pitches, especially that one in that one game. But in game 7, he just didn't seem comfortable. And I was talking about that during game. He just didn't look like he was confident. And we all know that Lance McCullers is the most confident guy out there. And this is not to just disparage him or anything like that, but he just didn't really look like he was in the zone like he was in game 2, I think, is when he pitched.
Well, so, remember in the beginning of the season when he had that rough start, and then Machete said, hey, you need to trust me. Like, when I give you a sign, you need to take it. And he went back to that. He had several, like 2 or 3 little streaky portions where like he went out and he dominated, you know. And when he shook off that pitch, I don't know what Maldonado called, but when he shook off the pitch and went with the fastball to a Rosarena, I was like, no, Lance, you got to trust your catcher. Like, I know you want to challenge him. I know you're a power guy, but his – Eric, do you think – I mean, of course, I know he's coming back from Tommy John, and I'm probably speaking from a place of ignorance because I don't know, like, rehab time and how long it takes to build back up, and everybody's different. But does it seem that Lance McCullers Jr. still isn't where he needs to be? Like, if this was a full season and he didn't have Tommy John surgery, do you think he would have been more effective? Do you think the shortened season and where we are and coming off Tommy John had something to do with him not being as sharp as we know he can be?
Sitting out a year doesn't help. Right. I know that he was the most ready when it came to camp, I believe, if I remember correctly, the second spring training. I know that in terms of when they're ready, they're not full on until like 2 years afterwards. Like, so okay. For McCullers to have that stretch of success that he did in the last, what was it, 7 games of the regular season.
Right.
That showed that he has the ability, and we saw that in game 2 of the ALCS as well. He looked pretty darn good. It was just a matter of he made one mistake to start off the game. He lost his focus for a little bit, and then he allowed that homer to a Rosarena, and it was over by then. And the Astros tried to come back, and to his credit, he tried to stay in the game. And the one thing that I do, the one takeaway I have from the game 7 World Series that makes me smile is what happened when Zach Greinke went to the bullpen. He was like looking around like, okay, what am I supposed to do? Am I supposed to stretch? Am I supposed to, what am I supposed to do? Am I supposed to sit at the thing? And it would have been so classic to see that, because I don't think he's been a reliever much in his career.
Right, exactly. I think you meant ALCS. You said Whatever. I think you said World Series. It's all good. But yeah, he was like, he was, and it was almost like, you know, that guy gets it. I think a lot of times a card, like he doesn't get it. But you know, this game definitely has a lot of questions. Is this the last time we'll see Springer? Is this the last time we'll see Reddick? I believe Reddick is a foregone conclusion. Just, I just think it was contract size. And I see people already sizing up, you know, rosters. And I think probably middle of the week, hopefully we can get, you know, a special guest on, and we can talk about those things and the implications of that for 2021. But I do agree with you that Carlos Correa has won the hearts of the fans all over again, even more so. And I think, as from a marketing standpoint, from a PR standpoint, you've got to figure out a way to keep Springer and Correa both in Houston. If you can only keep one, if I had to choose between Springer and Correa, I would probably lean Correa right now. I know a lot of it's, and it's hard for me to say that. And anyone listening, I'm not saying that because I don't love George Springer. I absolutely love the guy. I love his heart. I love his passion. I love his bat. I think he's the most potent leadoff hitter in all of baseball. But at the end of the day, Correa is younger, long-term shortstop, that position.
It's easier to find a center fielder who can play it like George Springer. Like, he can go out and get Ozuna this offseason.
Yeah, I mean, you can replace Springer's position. You can't replace Springer, but you can replace his position easier than, unless you go out and get like a Francisco Lindor, which I doubt they would be able to get Francisco Lindor. He's going to get a pretty sizable contract. And so at the end of the day, the Astros, Jim Crane has said, we are going to open up our pocketbook in the offseason. He said that. And so let's see. Let's see what him and James Click, and I guess Dusty Baker's in the mix, you know, see what these guys can figure out to get these guys reeled in. You've got Yuli, and, you know, Wednesday we can talk about it. We got this young Cuban kid coming up, 21-year-old, and it's a good thing they kept Yuli around. They've got Yuli. They got Alvarez. They've got this other kid, Pedro Leon, right? Is that his name? Okay.
Yes.
I mean, so you've got a strong Cuban connection. I mean, you've got Alebnis Diaz. He's a Cuban. You've got, and that's really important, I think, for camaraderie and just like the players understanding each other. But you know who else I think needs an offseason? I think is Alex Bregman. I know he's getting married here in a couple weeks, and I think it'll be probably the best offseason he's ever had. He's going to come back, and I see Bregman coming back really strong next year.
Well, one thing that you have to know about Alex Bregman is he's always been the best player on the field. Even when he wasn't really in the minor leagues, he always had that that feeling, like, and his moxie and his presence. You can just tell that he was the crap out there. And he kind of lost that towards the end. And I don't know if it's hamstring issues. I don't know if it's whatever issues he had this year. But him and Altuve, they needed offseason so bad. And I think they both need to kind of do what they do. Bregman's going to get married. I think Altuve just needs to spend time with his family and just forget about baseball for a little bit. Still stay in shape and everything. But he's got to put the cheating scandal behind him as much as possible, because we know there's going to be fans next year.
It's going to be huge. I mean, Eric, even if they allow 50% in the stadiums, or even as 30%, those people are going to be motivated by one thing, and just they're going to, you know, it's Astros fans. It's going to get annoying. Okay. And it is what it is, I guess. You know, it is a uniform these guys wear, and I think they probably wear it well, because what else can you do?
Yeah. And so George Springer is the person we could keep a big eye on this offseason. He's going to get a lot of offers, but the same time, teams are struggling financially. They've just went through a 60-game baseball season with no fans in. I know there's some fans that were let in during the playoffs, and there's going to be some in the World Series. But as you can see in those games at Globe Life Field, that – it's basically they're like rows, kind of like when you go to a movie theater, you can only sit in certain spots. And so they're not going to, it's hopefully things will kind of level off by next April, but the Astros just need to focus on building this team. And I think Dusty Baker said it. Everybody said it. This team is really good. And Nolan Paredes has said, we're going to get the crown next year because that's how confident we are about this team. So I think they do need to improve the bullpen. They do need to address the starting pitching, especially without Justin Verlander. But at the same time, you do have some pieces you can work with. So I don't think the starting pitching is the big thing. I would like to bring another one, but they got to really work on that bullpen. They got to get that bullpen to be something where you can trust in. And like, I think, was it last year or 2018 where we had the really good bullpen? And then I think it was last year, right?
So. Yeah, no, yeah, is that's okay. And I'm going to say this on this podcast because I don't want to address it in the future. If you're listening, you're a regular listener, don't send us a question about, hey, what do you think about Trevor Bauer being a Houston Astro? I'm sorry.
Why? I'm there for that.
Dude, have you seen all the stuff that he's done?
I know.
That he wore with the trash cans?
That would be so hilarious for him to be like, oh, it'd be like a Durant joining the Golden State Warriors. If he can't win it, then join them. I would love that. I think that would be awesome.
It'd
be so awkward for him, and it'd be like, okay, well, he's just trying to get the ring, or he's trying to get
I think he's an overgrown man child. He's obviously very intelligent. He's obviously very good at what he does.
It's not going to happen, by the way.
I know. I'm just saying, like, can we just stop with the Trevor Bauer coming to Houston talk? Like, it's
Tyler.
It makes me sick to my stomach. I mean, the dude literally blocks half the country on Twitter. He spouts off at the mouth and he can't handle it. At the end of the day, the guy's only going to sign 1 year contracts. We don't know. Tyler Bauer, please pass. You know where I hope he goes? I hope he goes to somewhere like Oakland.
Let's go get Clevinger. Angels.
Oh no. God, Lee, dude, what the? Are you
Let's get CC Sabathia out of retirement and
I mean he actually looks like a baseball player now that he's not playing baseball. I mean,
yeah.
You know, I mean that's good, you know. He at least he got his health in order. I think his takes are trash, but
the outfield is going to be a big question mark.
I think your guy Chas McCormick's gonna get a shot this next year.
Yeah,
I really do.
He's basically Miles Straw, and so
yeah, but I think he's got more potential hitting wise than Miles Straw does, right? Yeah. Doesn't he have a better glove?
I'll have to look into that. Now I think that Miles Straw is pretty good defensively, but Chas McCormick is probably the better hitter, but we'll have to see what happens. But yeah, there's gonna be some openings, and I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, I know they can't sign him until July 4th, the international signing period, but I wouldn't be surprised if Pedro Leon goes and plays maybe a week in the minor leagues or so, and or Triple A or something, and comes right up to Astros. I don't think it would happen, but
dude, the way that kid hits, did you know that he's only like 5'9"? He's listed at 5'11", but they believe he's only 5'9". He's not even that tall.
Yeah.
Isn't that weird? And he's got this crazy sneaky, he's got this power. Imagine him and Alvarez in the same lineup. I mean, if we can hold on to Springer. I mean, imagine this lineup with just a couple pieces like that. The thing is, the lineup's still stacked. The pitching is the big question mark. I think in the offseason, they need to get some relief pitching.
Yeah.
I think they hurt more in the bullpen area because I wouldn't mind some of the guys that pitched this year get some more service time down in the minors next year.
Are you talking about like Cy Snead?
I don't know. I mean, I think with it, I don't know. No, I'm talking about the guys, you know, like
Luis Garcia.
Well, the guys that even the guys that didn't make the playoff roster, like Brandon Bailey, guys like that.
Oh, okay, yeah.
I think maybe just need a little bit more service time under their belt, which they're almost there. Belak probably will start. You know what I'm saying? I mean, some of those guys are going to start in the minors, and I don't have a problem with that.
Right. So also think of what James Click is coming from. He's coming from the Rays. He basically helped build this team, and what's kind of their, I know they don't have the most dominant bullpen, but they have a pretty good bullpen. So I think he's going to really make a focus on the relieving aspect, especially after what we've seen. And Kevin Cash is one of those guys that you're talking about this earlier. He's just one of those guys that after so many times through the order, or he's just going to give a different look just because he doesn't want the other team during playoffs to get too comfortable. But Charlie Moore, in that one game, he pitched a heck of a game. And I thought that once he got out of the game, the Astros would have a chance, but unfortunately it was just not in cards, but it's fine. I'm not going to cry about it. I didn't even cry about it yesterday. I was just more sad.
I'm proud of you, Eric, for staying strong. No. I'm proud of you. Yeah, no, I mean, and I even stated this after the game, like, it wasn't like game seven loss of the World Series as a spectator, as a fan, was like brutal. Okay. That was because we had the lead, we had the momentum, we were at home. That was crushing, right? Last night's game, and maybe because it wasn't at anybody's particular ballpark, I think maybe plus it's a 60 game season, plus it's kind of an odd year. But
and the Astros weren't supposed to be there. Honestly.
Yeah. I mean, I wasn't as like, you know, as a baseball like analyst or commentator, it was definitely a fun game to watch. As a fan, it wasn't as crushing as I thought it would be when they lost. Like, cause I thought, oh man, if they lost, it's gonna change my mood. And I go home, wife's gonna be like, what's wrong with you? And I was gonna be all depressed. And I just, you know, hey, they lost game seven. They gave it a hell of a fight. It's a great team. And if people think the Astros are done in 2021, and I've seen those takes on Twitter several times from writers, from bloggers, from people on podcasts, they think the Astros are done for. Oh man, I hate to tell you, but they're coming back and they're going to compete, and they're actually going to be better in the regular season. They will not be competing for second place. They will be fighting for the AL West. I think they take it back next year.
Yeah, I think so too. But I think the biggest key to the offseason is going to be what happens to George Springer and who does he go to. And one of the things that kind of makes me a little leery of the Red Sox is they're not necessarily a George Springer away from being good again. They basically have so many injuries this past year, and they kind of really crashed down to earth. So we'll have to see what happens. But Springer is going to be a big key season. But we're not going to dwell on this playoff loss too much longer. We got to start focusing on what's going to happen for the 2021 season. And we'll kind of structure our shows that way. But otherwise, thank you guys for listening to the show all year. Brett, I know, I think I brought you on before the season or during the season.
Yes. Well, like right before the season, it was you had told me like whenever this, you know, starts that we'll get rolling. And of course that was before COVID and all this stuff broke out. So.
Yeah, so thanks for jumping on, and thank you for being such a team player at times. Yeah. And guys, thank you for being patient as we were basically learning each other and learning how to – a lot of people say we have good chemistry, and so it takes a while to do that. But at the same time, even when you came on Talking Strohs, you did pretty darn good. Like, we seem to have a good flow. So
I appreciate it.
Anyway, so don't forget to keep on listening to Locked On Astros podcast all off season. This is not just a in-season show. And don't forget to go check out the Locked On MLB podcast. I think Sully is going to be focusing on the World Series now that the Astros aren't in it. And I'm just throwing a little shade there, Sully. But overall, it's a great show. And go listen. And go Astros 2021. Dusty Baker would be the manager. We know that. We know James Click will be the GM. And now we have to see where AJ Hinch goes. That's going to be very interesting and that could turn the tide in the American League, especially if he goes to Chicago. And that's it for tonight's Locked On Astros podcast. We'll talk to you tomorrow.